Amanda and John, thank you very much for coming on to Dilsa and talking about this situation that's going on with sleep disorders in children. One of the key things that I wanted to ask is how important is sleep for a child or even an adult for that matter in order to perform very well the next day or in an exam?
Yeah, so the research from Kellogg's shows that over 20% of children lost sleep. And I think as athletes and people who work under pressure realise, sleep and nutrition are really, really important. So giving children the opportunity to get a good night's sleep, eat a good breakfast, whether it's at home or at the breakfast clubs, just doesn't... It sets the kids up to do their best and to thrive in those exam situations. If you don't do that, then it becomes very stressful for them, very... detrimental to their performance, and it becomes a bit of a vicious circle.
You also mentioned the fact that children worry perhaps before an exam, which I never thought was the case. It was many years ago, we didn't worry that much. But when it comes to having a good night's sleep, if they're worried, I mean, it doesn't really matter whether they've got 8 hours or 4 hours. If they're worrying, they're not really asleep. Is that right?
No, people have things on their mind and it can stop them getting to sleep. But it's more important, it is important for parents to help children not worry overly about exams and make sure that they are sort of kept calm and have plenty of time to relax. So it does matter the amount of sleep they have.
Well, earlier on, you were also looking at, or I was looking at some of the notes here, and it said that you're offering, as you said, breakfast for children. I wanted to go into this point because some parents would argue that they don't know what necessarily is a quote-unquote healthy breakfast. What is a healthy breakfast for a child?
I'm not a nutritionist, but healthy breakfasts include stuff... carbohydrates that have a slow release, what you don't want. And this the research from Kellogg's said that they had children were drinking energy drinks, which is absolutely the wrong thing to have for breakfast because you get a sugar spike and then just at the time you need to perform the exam, you have the crash that comes after it. So balanced diet of fruit, healthy cereals, toast, eggs, bit of protein, bit of carbohydrates, but in the slow release, low GI type of food is brilliant.
Is that what Kellogg is offering then on these breakfasts?
The research is not about the breakfast, the content of the breakfast. Kellogg supports the breakfast clubs in lots of ways, including giving just money. And when they do give the cereals, they give the healthy, low fat, low salt, low sugar versions.
Very, very interesting. Well, I didn't realise that, giving the healthy low fat. John, I wanted to bring you in for a second because
sure.
One of the other things that I noticed is that there was something about 10 or 12-year-olds smoking cigarettes. They are so at their despair for or before an exam. Is that really an excuse to smoke as a kid, or is it really something that they're really using to calm themselves down?
We mustn't exaggerate that. It's probably... less than a fifth of a 1% of children, and they would be taking their model from, sadly, they'd be taking their model from their mother or father. It's a very tiny proportion. I wouldn't have said that we have a problem in this country about primary school children smoking. In fact, I'd say boldly that we don't have a problem. There's one other thing I'd like to add about the breakfast clubs.
Of course.
They're so important. The children get into school, they're bound to be, you and I would be if we were still 6 or 7 or 10 or 11 years old. They're hyped up, they're nervous, they're chattering a lot. But at breakfast clubs, they meet their peers, they meet the other children, they share a joke, they tease each other. And of course, it relaxes them. So it's not only the diet part of breakfast clubs which is important, but it is also the social part of it is very important in a day of stress.
That is a very good point. But and again, connected with that, earlier on there was an article about children very young, as long as 6, going on strike because they felt the exams were not for them. But then they've also said in today's papers that I've read from you all that some people are blaming the teachers, saying that they're not good enough in order to let these children pass the exams. What would you say carries more weight?
Well... the point is this, the action that many families, many parents took, hundreds of them across the country, brought together by social media, it's a very powerful demonstration of the way social media can get people together, they took action to say to the government that they wanted the pressure of testing lessened, particularly for the very young children of 6 years and 7 years old. Now, most primary children, 85% of them are women, are very kind and very understanding, and they want to protect children from these pressures. But you see, the government attaches a lot of weight to the results of the tests, not for the children. The children would live anyway and recover and go on. It's not the end of the world for them. But for the teachers, it's their job. That's the problem these days. So we've got to cut it back.
Good point. Amanda, as somebody who's been in sport, you found it obviously competitive at times, correct?
I haven't been in sport particularly. We promote play and active play and everything for children. But yeah, and competition is good. But what we need to do is teach children how to thrive in pressured situations in a positive way, not in a stressful, anxious way, so that children are given a chance to show what they can do and they see it as an exciting challenge rather than a stressful time.
That's exactly my point, and that brings me on to my last but not least question, or one from that is, when you say earlier that we're teaching children how to thrive in a pressurised environment, can you very sort of succinctly or briefly say how you do that, or what the most key important word is to help them to thrive and not worry, shall we say?
The key word I'd use is perspective. So you start young with little and often and help them learn and develop the skills that they need to cope with everyday stresses, not just exam stress. But it's if you wrap them in cotton wool and never give them any pressure or never give them any stress, they're not able to deal with it when they're adult. But if you give them too much when they're too young, they can't cope with it, and it can really damage them. Their sort of long-term self-esteem.
Okay, let's be absolutely clear.
That young children want to learn. They come desperate to learn. They want to learn from every hour that they live. And they bring that desire to learn into primary schools. So if we can provide them with learning that is suited to their young nature, they're not miniature adults. They think they are different to we adults. If we can do that, if we can match learning to what the children are really like, they will learn and they will learn well.
Interesting point. Last but not least, and I guess either of you can answer this, where can parents or even children who are worried about worrying and SATs and everything else, where can they go for some advice?
I run Fundamentally Children, and that's a free advice site for parents. Talk to their schools. There's lots of advice online. Talk to other parents as well. Parents who've done it all before, get a sort of a reality check there. So I think there is lots of advice around there for parents who do want to try and help their children thrive and not just survive the exam season.
And they must relax about today. They must relax. They mustn't show that it's such a big deal for the children. You can't blame parents being uptight and wanting their children to succeed. And sometimes the teachers put too much of a stress on it. But everyone must try to relax. We will change the system. We will do. Now that parents are on the march, we will change the system and make it better.
Okay, thank you both very much for coming on to Deal, for explaining what worry is, explaining how children can actually relax about these things, but I think more importantly, explaining the fact that there is help out there, what to do and how to do it. Thank you both, Amanda and John. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.